Congratulations! You have been appointed Secretary of Agriculture for the United States of America. Now, what policy will you enact to guarantee a safe and secure food chain?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 618th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or, hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Acadalia, Cyprus, who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, wherever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Nikki James on the boards. Hello, Nikki.
Hi.
Producer Carol Stafford.
Hello, everyone.
And Parmalee Taff.
Hello.
Folks, we are looking into the dawn of a new era for the United States of America. A new political party will soon take charge in Washington, D.C., and given the apparent total collapse of its opposition, this new regime will have its way in the political arena. We wonder what the new regime will do for the nation's food chain. And given that President-elect Obama has appointed Thomas Vilsack to be the next Secretary of Agriculture, we can take a quick look at his track record and get an idea of where things are going. In 1995, Vilsack voted for the law to remove the right of Iowa to impose restrictions on animal feedlots. In 2001, he was named Governor of the Year by the Biotechnology Industry Association. In 2005, he signed into law the House bill that would bar local governments from regulating the planting of genetically modified seeds. In 2007, he joined the law firm of Dorsey & Whitney, whose corporate clients include food giants Cargill and ConAgra. He also serves as a distinguished fellow at Iowa State University's Biosafety Institute for Genetically Modified Agricultural Food Products, and he is a supporter of biofuels. So that is kind of a thumbnail of the new Secretary of Agriculture, but it is a new era. We do not know what is going to happen. We can just guess. And given what can happen, though, with the nation, when a food chain is broken, our curiosity has grown enormously. But the demands of our curiosity notwithstanding, we simply don't know what's going to happen. So today we're going to look for direction to you. Yes, you. By the literary license granted us by the First Amendment, we appoint you Secretary of Agriculture for the United States of America. Now, what policy will you enact to guarantee a safe and secure food chain? What will you do to ensure the 300 million people of this country eat safely and securely? This edition of the Food Chain radio program is your first chance to tell a nation, a national audience, how you will take care of them. So pick up your phone and join us today. We're at Talk to the Nation. We're at 831-479-1080, 800-624-2665. This indeed is your first national press conference. Pick up your phone. Talk to the Nation, 831-479-1080 and 800-624-2665. And please do stay tuned for the end of this program when Food Chain host Michael Olson, and that would be me, will propose what very well may be the single most radical food policy ever. This proposal is so radical I will have to make a quick getaway from the broadcast studio because scores of angry people will surely want to tar and feather me on the spot when they hear what I have to say. But this is not my show. This is your show. You are the Secretary of Agriculture for the United States of America. So pick up your phone and tell the nation what you will do to make certain each of the citizens in this country eats safely and securely. 831-479-1080 and 800-624-2665. Now, today, our first Secretary of Agriculture, we're going to go to Zoya Lytsenko. Did I get your name right, Zoya?
Yes, thank you.
Good. You are a frequent listener to the Food Chain, correct?
Yes, I think almost all that I can.
Well, Thank you, Zoya. We really appreciate having you as one of our listeners. You know, folks, here in the United States, I have selected Zoya for a very important reason. Here in the United States, we have grown accustomed to always having a safe and secure food chain, supply of food, but that is not always so in the world. Sometimes the food chain breaks, and it did break in the former Soviet Union. And perhaps we can get a little insight into what that was like from Zoya. Zoya, you were there, were you not?
Yes, I was in Soviet Union, and I know that it's, if not closed, little lots that people have around, people would not have any food.
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about the little lots, the little market gardeners that individuals kept, right?
Yes, it was, you know, this was created collective farm. Mm-hmm. Collective farm produce only bureaucracy and almost no food. And if food came to store, it was rotten.
And it was rotten?
Yes, in store people are buying rotten food. All store belong to government. It was nationalized, everything. And only little market and people who brought food to market brought good food, and you know with whom you deal.
So you actually were buying food with its farmer's face on it because you knew who was selling the food. You knew
Yes,
them.
It was difficult, and it's people who brought food, most of them was not working very hard all week in collective farm, and on Sunday they work around their houses. Some people who was before very good farmers, they most of them was how they call kulak, and most farm was destroyed, and it's destroyed by artificial hunger when was people don't want go to collective farm, and their food was mm-hmm. confiscated, and they die. A lot of villages was destroyed, and farm did not exist. But later on, all this collective farm could not really produce anything but more and more bureaucracy. And in addition, when collective farm does not produce, government creates state farm, that people work like on a plant and receive salary.
Mm-hmm.
This was people who really don't care what they're doing, and it did not help very much, just create another line of different bureaucracy. It was local and it was state, and these people we don't even know, but eventually in store when you get all these people on the top have they separate store and a separate way to get food.
Zoya, how old were you when this? How old were you when you were going through these food shortages in the
food shortages? I think it's. I was. You see, I did not remember some things. I remember from my mother's mm-hmm. story, but during the war, Stalin decided that he sees it. No. And somehow they gave people little lot. And our family have this little lot too. And it was in Siberia. But this little lot that we have only work for Sunday gave us potato, cabbage, carrots, and some things that they help us through the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how it was. You see people in many areas because they understood that no food coming from collective farm. They gave people some lots and people going and work with this I have my own little garden and grow something around to some for this tomato that never get red because Siberia have a very short summer, but they later was making becoming red in inside house.
Right. Well, Zoya.
Yes.
You really went through it, and what you saw was that the Soviet government took land from people and gave it to collective farms. And as more and more people were forced off their land onto these collective farms, they didn't make very good farmers on those collective farms, did they?
No, they just, if they were trying to do as less job as possible because they need to work it at home.
At home. Well, Zoya, when we come back, I'm going to ask you.
Yes?
What you would do as Secretary of Agriculture of the United States.
I will close for
you. Okay, hold that. We'll be right back, Zoya.
Okay.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Congratulations out there. You have been appointed Secretary of Agriculture for the United States of America. Now, what will you do to develop a safe and secure food chain? Pick up your phone and join us. This is your chance. This is your first chance at a national press conference. Pick up your phone and join us at 800-624-2665 or 831-479-1080. And talk to the nation. Tell us what you will do to develop a secure food chain. Our first Secretary of Agriculture for the day is Zoya Lyshenko. Zoya is an emigre from the former Soviet Union. And it was a place where the food chain essentially broke down when the government decided to centralize its agriculture in the hands of collectives. And so it kicked all of the farmers off their own land and forced them to work on a collective farm. But the collective farms didn't do all that well, or so says Zoya. Zoya tells us how the people on the collective farms didn't do anything because why didn't they want to do much, Zoya?
Oh, because they have to do a lot of things. And you see, it was time, I remember I was... that it's people from villages came to buy bread in the city because they don't have bread over there.
Wow.
And they don't have enough flour to bake their own bread. They usually
had they had the grain usually, right?
They have very little. No, this they don't have enough grain to to. And it was cheaper for them to buy in the city. Already, it was time when it was very big shortage of bread, and bread was very bad. Sometimes you only sick people get white bread. It's nightmare that people don't understand. You see, people was standing in line to buy eggs, to buy meat, and sometimes it was mostly bones and very little meat.
Mm-hmm. Well, Zoya, had it been entirely up to the communal farms of the Soviet government, everybody would have starved to death, right?
Yes, I think it's I usually was reading everything, and I know that it's 46% of food was produced on this little farm.
46% of the food in the former Soviet
Union? Maybe even more. Later on, some people around my city, they have little shared, you can say, summer house,
mm-hmm.
and they make their own food too, because on this little lot they got mm-hmm. potato and everything that's possible, and it helped too.
Well, Zoya, having lived through that in the former Soviet Union, and you now live in the United States where we always seem to have enough food, all you have to do is go to the grocery store and everything seems fine there. What would you do as Secretary of Agriculture?
I think it's we don't need big bureaucracy in Washington. They cannot, even with good intention, you know that road to hell is paved.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Good intention. They cannot. It's impossible. It's not wise to tell people what they think they have to do, maybe on the other side of United States.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's only local farmers' union or farmer. And local can know what people can grow
here. Know
what
works, right.
And it will, only local will work in this condition, especially if we now have some kind of disturbance because of terrorists. Only local producer can save us.
Only the local producer can save us, says Zoya.
Yes.
Lychenko, emigre from the former Soviet Union. So you want to ride along with us? We're going to talk with producer Carol Stafford now.
Okay.
Okay. Carol Stafford has been with the food chain for a long time. Carol, we've covered a lot of turf together.
Yeah.
A lot of different stories, met a lot of people over the years. So we now appoint you Secretary of Agriculture. What will you do to develop a secure food chain?
Well, I think the first thing I would have to do is fire everyone in the USDA.
Fire everyone at the USDA?
Yeah.
Well, you sound like Zoya.
Well, yeah, I think she's right about that. But then I would hire, as my second-in-command, Joel Salatin.
Uh-huh.
And then we'd have to...
And who's Joel Salatin?
Joel Salatin is a genius. He's a guy who... we've had on the show a couple
uh-huh.
of times at least,
uh-huh.
and he farms in a way that integrates all kinds of different crops and different.
What is the
of
name
livestock.
Of his farm?
Polyface.
Polyface Farm. Many faced farms.
Virginia.
Yes, in Swope, Virginia, in the Shenandoah River Valley.
Like he has it all organized so that you know the cattle move around this wonderful field, and then you know it's all arranged so that when the cattle are done with a certain area, the chickens follow them and eat the grubs and their poop, and he's just a genius. So anyhow, we need him in the office.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he would make a good politician?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean he's a real good schmoozer.
Okay. So what would your aim B in bringing Joel Salatin in? What would you hope that he would do for the nation's food chain?
Well, he just has such a wealth of experience and good ideas that I would hope he could spread that around a little bit. I
mm-hmm.
mean, there's a really...
If what do you think he would do as if you were as Secretary of Agriculture were to hire Joel Salatin, you would say, Joel, this is what I want you to do. What do you want him to do?
Send him on the road.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Of course, you know, I guess the kids could handle the farm while he's gone, but he'd have to go out and talk to the governors and talk to, you know, everybody out there who needs to learn about the smarter way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And the big idea behind all this is to encourage farming to get smaller.
There's what I was looking for. You would encourage farming to get smaller.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need mega farms for everything. I mean, I think the long food chain, like you're always saying, the 1,200 miles or something from, you know, the average distance from farm to plate, and that's just dangerous if you're talking about food security. I mean, the safest food is the food in your backyard.
Zoya, would you agree with that?
Yes, I think it's people just don't understand that it's needed everywhere. And it's good for people, too, not to sit in front of TV all the time.
That's
right. And have some kind of real job. And it's very rewarding when it's something grow and you see that it's yours.
Okay, folks, you're tuned into the Food Chain. We're talking food security and what is going to be the future of our food chain. And since we really don't know what the new regime will do, we're turning to you and appointing you Secretary of Agriculture. What will you do to secure a safe and secure food chain for the United States? Pick up your phone and join us today. This is your first opportunity to speak to a national audience about your objectives and your policies. So join us, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We will continue this conversation when we get back. Do stay tuned. Well, congratulations out there. You have been appointed Secretary of Agriculture for the United States of America. Now, what will you do to develop a secure and safe food chain? Well, pick up your phone and join us. This is your chance to tell us, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Our first Secretary of the Agriculture for the day was Zoya Lyshenko. Zoya is an emigre from the former Soviet Union. And if anybody knows what life is like when the food chain breaks, it would be Zoya, because she was there. And the food chain did break, and yet she survived. And she survived because her friends and neighbors were growing food in little plots of land. Isn't that right, Zoya?
Yes, and we have our little during the war.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped us. We put it in the ground, because this time, and people, we don't have water, we don't have heating, everything was you need to brought to house.
Mm-hmm.
You can, I remember like American coming to other country and see they don't have water and hot water. It's very usual in many country, and people just adjust to this.
And in that same line, we here in the United States have come to expect that there will always be a supermarket filled with foods, and those foods will be cheap and readily available.
And clean and safe.
And yet it's not always that way around the world. Sometimes the food chain breaks. And when it broke in the Soviet Union, it was the people on small parcels of land that really saved their nation.
You see, I have question. Why we need Secretary of Agriculture in Washington at all? I don't think anyone who will get there will not be able to do a decent job. They will create commission after commission. This is what I see.
And that's what's happened. That's what happened in the former Soviet Union, wasn't it?
And so Soviet Union was chief of state farm, chief of collective farm, and people around them that have pretty good life, but they produce absolutely nothing. They produce, and when it gets to the store, it was rotten already. I remember that the people bought something and came home and start to throw away rotten stuff and choose something that is possible to eat.
Wow.
And it's a government store and everywhere, but it was, and it, I was living in pretty good areas that have a lot of good land, but only market, but market, we have friend in a village not far, and you always buy from someone you know. If you go to market.
Food with his farmer's face on it.
Yes, and you know, and you always know what day they will come and what product they have, and usually these people with small lots, they don't have one stuff. They usually have chicken, pigs, cow.
So they have a varied number. Producer Carol Stafford was talking about our good friend Joel Salatin, who's like that. He has a bunch of different crops growing, and not just one thing, but a bunch of different things. And things become available at different times of the year, and there's always food at Joel Salatin's farm. Carol Stafford has been with the Food Chain Radio program for a number of years, and we've traveled a lot of different stories together, met a lot of different people, and you seem to go along with Zoya's contention. You said something about fire them all.
Yeah, I mean, I think the more local, like she said, your food is, the safer the greater your, what do they call it, the food security.
Food security.
Yeah.
Well, also with us here, we have producer Parmley Taft. Parmley, you've been around the United States a while. As you said, you started on the East Coast, and now you're on the West Coast, and you have kids all the way in between.
I do.
And so you're a foodie. Tell us what you would do as Secretary of Agriculture.
Well, I'm a foodie, and I've also been a former educator. So I think as Secretary of Agriculture, I would definitely want to abolish my own job. But before I do that, I think I would start an education campaign to encourage families to do their own gardening. And along the lines of change begins at the family dinner table. And politically, that's where change has to begin also. And I must say, I'm very distressed at our huge, huge government bureaucracy. And I'd love to see that just go away. So I would support anything that involves no pork, no lobbying, no subsidies, congressional term limits, throw the bums out, get back to a real free market economy,
well,
and it has to go back to the family dinner table.
It starts there?
Yes.
Thank you, Parmley. Let's go to Engineer Nikki James, who's hiding behind the glass in there. Nikki,
I'm hiding.
You've been with the food chain for a while now. You've met a lot of people, heard a lot of stories.
Yeah.
What would you do as Secretary of Agriculture?
You know, I actually grew up in Idaho. I know a lot of farmers up there. And one of the biggest things that came to mind for me was just leave the farmers alone. There's too many taxes and things that are going on that are making it harder for them to do their job. And, yeah, that's my thing.
So you seem to be in keeping with Parmley and Carol and Zoya.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm all for the families should grow their own.
There is nothing on the radio.
Yes, go ahead, Zoya.
She can't hear me.
Why Nikki does not tell anything?
Oh.
I didn't hear her.
Oh, evidently she is on a different board, and when she talks, you can't hear her, Zoya.
I could not.
But what she was saying is that she grew up in Idaho and knew a lot of farm families, and she suggests, as you suggest, that we should leave the farmers alone to do what they know how to do best.
Yes, I think so. Good farmers know everything. I have a farmer's almanac that was produced in United States and was printed for more than 200 years. And they are giving more information than all these agricultural bureaucrats.
It's more useful than all of the bureaucrats put together. And you know, having been in Washington, D.C. a number of times, what you see there is a USDA, the Department of Agriculture, a monumental bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. Holy smokes, it's blocks long and blocks wide and has millions of windows. And you look into that and you think, how on earth are farmers supposed to farm? So when we get back, I guess it will be my turn to be Secretary of Agriculture. So fasten your seatbelts, because we're going to let it rip when we get back. Do stay tuned. Well, a new era is dawning here in the United States, a brand new political regime coming in, and without apparent opposition from the other side, which is in apparent state of total collapse. And so the new regime will have its way in the political arena. We wonder what they will do and for our food chain. And having heard from Zoya Lychenko what can happen when the food chain collapses, our curiosity is becoming enormous. We wonder what will happen to our food chain. Well, we don't really know, and we won't really know until they take the new regime takes charge and starts doing things. So today, we look to you, and we ask you to become the new Secretary of Agriculture and tell us what you would do for the country. We've talked to our first Secretary of Agriculture was Zoya Lysenko, who is an emigre from the former Soviet Union. We asked her to go first because she really knows what happens when the food chain breaks and what takes to survive. And Carol Stafford and Parmalee Taff and Nikki James were all here as Secretaries of Agriculture today. And I guess it's my turn now to be Secretary of Agriculture. What will I do as Secretary of Agriculture? Well, here goes. First of all, agriculture is increasingly dominated by very, very large organizations, which are very far away. Consequently, we now get much of our food from thousands of miles away, and in many cases, from the other side of the earth. I believe the farther one is from the source of one's food, the less control one has over what is in that food. There is, therefore, a tremendous risk in relying on organizations which are very far away for our daily bread. One day, those faraway organizations could simply disappear, like the banks and auto industries are disappearing in today's world. If those large organizations disappear, there would be no food, just as what happened in the former Soviet Union. I therefore propose that we allow people back into agriculture and agriculture back into the cities. In doing so, we will be able to get close once again to our food and to the people who are growing that food. We will regain control of our food chain. There is one way to affect this radical transformation of our food chain, and that is to, are you ready for this? Remove all subsidies and allow consumers to pay the true costs of production. I mean, all subsidies.
I think Parmalee and I agree with that totally.
Absolutely.
Zoya?
Yes, I think it's nonsense to give subsidy, because it's people use subsidy, don't grow anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me talk a little bit about subsidies. And we start, of course, with the obvious subsidies in which our government pays millions and millions of dollars to millionaires to grow or not to grow crops. How patently absurd to give millionaires millions for growing food. But that is just the obvious subsidies, and it is the penny ante stuff. It's the little subsidies. So let's get rid of them and look to the big subsidies, which are the hidden subsidies. Now, what are the hidden subsidies? Let's talk about, for example, farm labor. We import farm labor from other countries and use them cheaply and pay them little. But actually, most of the cost of those farm laborers are shunted off to taxpayers. We must raise their families. We must educate them. We must hospitalize them and incarcerate them. We should allow the consumers of the food produced by those immigrants to pay the true costs of that labor and not taxpayers. Let's talk about the use of poisons that are contaminating the environment. The cost of cleaning up those poisons should be paid by the consumers of the food. That way we get a sense of the true costs of that production. Also, the biggest subsidy of all, I believe, is the subsidy we are giving China. We are doing this by refusing to allow our farmers to grow food here because they are dirty or noisy, and we chase them away. And they are then allowed to grow food in China, which is the dirtiest place on earth. So we are, in effect, subsidizing China when we run down to the box store and buy food from China and refusing to allow our farmers to grow it here. That, to me, is one of the biggest subsidies of all. And I think it is a nation-destroying subsidy. So I think that if we are to buy food from China, we should force them to grow food under the same restrictions that our farmers have here. That, I think, would eliminate an incredible subsidy. But I believe by getting rid of subsidies that only the very, very large can afford to buy those subsidies from government because they have the economies of scale to rent politicians. Small people do not. And if we make everybody pay the true costs of production, I believe that we will find that those small farmers that Zoya Lyshenko talks about will be the ones who save us. Right back after these messages, please do stay tuned. Welcome back, folks. Today we're talking about agriculture, our food chain, and we're looking to the future and thinking about what we would do were we Secretary of Agriculture. It seems like we'd all fire ourselves when it gets right down to it. My contention is the way to a secure food chain is to eliminate all subsidies, because subsidies are what protect people and distort marketplaces and allow people to become very, very big when they really don't have the efficiencies to be very, very big. It allows countries like China to have an unfair advantage over countries like the United States. It allows distortions, and it allows for the development of a food chain that is not secure and is not safe. So that's what we put on the table today, is just eliminate all subsidies. And if you have no subsidies, who needs a Secretary of Agriculture, right, Zoya?
Yes, I think it's all bureaucracy in Washington. It's too far away, and I just don't like centralized power anywhere.
I do not like centralized power anywhere,
yeah.
Because it's so corruptible, isn't it?
It's corruptible. They, even with good intentions, they cannot do what is supposed to be done. It's not in human ability to understand condition everywhere, and they just put force the idea that does not work in this place. This okay. is what is going on.
Okay, Secretary number two, Carol Stafford.
Well, is there a specific question, or am I just summing up?
Summing up.
Well, I think for people out there to just consider the true cost of a Big Mac or a Pop-Tart would really make them stop and think about, you know, what the influence of all this stuff we've been talking about is on their food and their health, everything. I mean,
very good. Parmley Taft?
Well, we were talking about food or change beginning at your own dining table. How about change beginning in your own garden?
There you go. Nikki James?
Leave the farmers alone.
Leave the farmers alone. Zoe, would you go along with that?
I think leave farmers alone and let consumers to buy from best farmers.
Ah.
This is it?
That's really where it starts, isn't it?
It's always the people are know what is better for them without any circular from Washington.
Mm-hmm. And there you go. If we all take arms and use our pocketbooks and vote with our pocketbooks, we can take care of this, can't we?
Yes. You know, now these farmers around the Monterey area, it's... attract a lot of people, and eventually people know whom they like mm-hmm. more and from whom they want to buy.
And soon, and in doing so, we will allow people back into agriculture and agriculture back into our cities.
Yes, but you see, bureaucracy is very difficult to get out of. They are always want to tell people and present them as necessary.
Because that's their
they
job.
They are savers.
Well, Zoya Lychenko, thank you so much. Carol Stafford, thank you so much. Parmalee Taft, Nikki James, thank you all out there for tuning in. It's been a great show, great year. Thank you so much. And join us next year for more What's Eating What Radio right here on the Food Chain.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.